Hi, everybody. I'm Sonia, and I'm an alcoholic. Hi, welcome to the Valley Group speaker meeting. Tonight, we have Elena from Visalia. She has 2 years, 9 months, and 19 days of sobriety. So I got the opportunity to kind of interview her and ask her some questions, and she was telling me that she's going to school to be a drug and alcohol counselor. That's pretty cool. I asked her how she stays sober, and she said by constantly reminding herself where her higher power took her from. Amen. Absolutely, yeah. She journals her feelings, thoughts, gratitudes, and she learned this technique from New Visions. Yeah. And she was at New Visions for 6 months. At first, when she went to New Visions, she had 1 foot in, 1 foot out. And then she said, like, a light bulb kind of came on, that kind of spiritual experience that we have to encounter. And her attitude just kind of turned around. She went through 3 different sponsors, and the last one has had a big impact on her sobriety. This is her permanent sponsor. I asked her what her struggles were during sobriety, because, of course, this is no easy road for any of us. And she said, accepting she's powerless over problems with family and kids. I kind of went deeper into that, and I asked her how she finds serenity and peace knowing that she's powerless at times. And she said she calls her sponsor, she prays, and she reaches out when issues arise. Her advice for the newcomer, so the newcomer that just walks in the door, she said, it's okay to reach out for help, and by excluding people and not allowing people into your life, you might be excluding the person that can help you. And she said, find a life of freedom. So without further hesitation, we are going to have Elena come up and share her story.
Hi, I'm Elena, and I'm an alcoholic. So I didn't think I was going to be this nervous, but oh my goodness, it'd be different. You would think since I share other meetings, I'll be okay, but I'm not. But I got to think about the newcomer and who my message is going to go to. So, you know, when I first came into these rooms, I wasn't really into it. Like, I really didn't think I belonged here. I come from a family that it's natural to drink. It's okay to drink. We don't have to have any kind of special occasion to drink, you know. I started drinking at a very young age. I was 10 years old when I first popped that beer open. I have 3 older brothers that used to always be partying, and I just sat there and watched them party, and I was that type of little sister that, you want a beer? Yeah, okay, fine. I grab a beer for them, but put one in my pocket and took it to my room all the time. You know, it was okay, you know, for us it was okay to drink, you know, and from there, it started from there. I just didn't think I had a problem. I started being rebellious, and remember my mom sent me to Mexico because I was out of control. I was like literally like drinking a lot, and when she finally found out that I was drinking and I was young, you know, and she couldn't believe it. And at the time, well, my family don't believe in recovery. They don't believe in any type of that stuff, you know. And she sent me to Mexico, and abandoned. I felt rejected by my family. I felt so much anger, and I remember being over there, and I became more rebellious, and I just didn't have nobody over there. You know, I was by myself, and I didn't know who to reach out to, and I was out there for a long time, and finally, I had my kids. I have 3 kids, and I had 2 of my kids over there, and when I came back to California, I was good for a minute, you know. When I came back, with my two older kids, and I was doing good for a long time. And So I thought I was doing good because I was still drinking. I was still partying. And I started hanging out with the wrong crowd. I met up with old friends, high school friends that I stopped talking when my mom sent me out to Mexico. And I just started hanging out with the wrong crowd, and I got introduced to other substances, and I didn't think I had a problem. And I remember, working, and I was doing that. So I didn't think I had a problem. I thought I was okay. You know, I thought, hey, you know what? I'm working. I have a job. I have my kids with me. I have my own house. I'm paying my own bills. I don't have I could continue doing what I'm doing. But little did I know, little by little, people were coming to my house, partying and stuff. My house became a trap house. Not noticing that, you know what, I was losing everything. And I used to hate myself for this a lot because I finally decided, you know what, I'm not hurting myself, I'm hurting my kids too, you know? And I remember I was so intoxicated. I was so out of my mind. I don't remember. There was times where I would wake up and not remember what I did, you know, the night before. And I would wake up drunk in front of my lawn, you know, with my kids inside my house. And I just remember that one day I personally went, grabbed my kids and took them to the sheriff's department. And I told my mom, I called my mom and I told my mom, you need to come and get my kids. I thought that was going to be the best thing I could have ever done. Well, you know, at the time I thought, oh, well, I just need you to take them for a little bit because I need to go into rehab. Because at the time I met somebody out of nowhere, some lady from Porterville. She was working in PAR at the time. And I went to the store and out of nowhere, this lady came up to me and told me, you know, this is recovery. You know, she introduced recovery to me, and I looked at her, and I told her, are you freaking crazy? Like, I don't have a problem. You know, this is like, I don't have a problem. I don't need help. I could do it by myself, and I don't need your help. Keep your number. Get away from me. I don't know who you are. Why are you even coming up to me, you know? And a couple of days after that, that's when that incident happened. I woke up in front of my house drunk, all peed on. And I told my mom, you know, I went to the sheriff's and I told, you know, I need you guys to call my mom. I need her to come pick up my kids. I'm not capable. I'm not in the right state of mind taking care of my kids. And I don't need to drag my kids out with me. And so I thought I was doing the best interest for myself because I was going to go look for help, supposedly. But I got more freedom in my hands. My kids were the ones that were keeping me kind of up and going, you know, even though I was drinking and I was using at the time. I thought that was going to be good for me, and I just went down and more down and more down, and I was out in the streets in Porterville for about 4 years, you know. The 4 years that I was in Porterville, I caught my first case. I have never been to jail. I have never been to prison. I've never been in trouble with the law. I had already, you know, I had my two kids. I was already, you know, like, as an adult, you know, I started getting in trouble. I caught my first case, and I went to jail, and I was in jail for 2 years. I did county. It was the first time, and I remember the judge saying, well, after you do your 2 years, you have to go into New Visions. This was in 2012. So I was all like, New Visions? I was like, what is New Visions? You know, what are you talking about? I didn't even know about New Visions at the time. And I was like, well, whatever, you know, it is what it is. And that day that I went to New Visions in 2012, I was just like, I wasn't into it. I really didn't care, you know. Like I said, when I came around these rooms, I thought, I don't belong here. This is for crazy people, you know. Like, I'm not an alcoholic. What are you talking about? You know, like, so I was in New Visions for 3 months. That was the first time I ever went to New Visions, and didn't even last. Got out of New Visions. I was out, you know, went back out, started drinking again. Started hanging around again with the wrong crowd. You know, so I was out there doing the most. I not only hurt myself, but I hurt a lot of people, you know. My kids were 30 minutes away from where I was at, and even in the same town, not once did I go looking for my kids. I abandoned my family, I abandoned my kids, I hurt my family, you know, I hurt myself, and I still went back, you know, I still went back and started drinking, and I started partying more, and I just felt like it was worse this time, you know, and I experienced something very ugly because my brother reached out to me one time, and he asked me, please get better. You know, he begged me. So I said, okay, fine. I'm going to take your offer. You can help me. Fine. So what did they do once again? They paid for me to go to a rehab in Mexico. And that was the worstest, ugliest feeling that I ever had experienced. Something terrible, horrible. It's not rehab. It wasn't rehab. It was something ugly, you know. You're talking about this place was, they had you locked down, you know. You didn't have no communication. You couldn't go nowhere. They had you like if you were in prison. And they treated you like crap. And ever since then, I'm not going to lie, I got a little bit of resentment. I got resentment, and I said, recovery's not going to help me. Like, look at what they did to me over here. And at the time, well, I had that negative thought, and at the time, I was like, you know, if they did it to me over there, they're going to do it to me anywhere else, you know, because I put that guard up, and this cloud just came on top of me, this ugly, you know, hellhole I was in. I put myself in once again. So some way, somehow, I managed to get out of that rehab. And I don't remember how I got back to California, but I remember I got back. I woke up in L.A. drunk again, not knowing who I was with. I don't remember who picked me up. Honestly, I don't even know. I came back with a stranger. And all this, you know, the stuff that I think about is just like, I put myself in ugly situations. Like, you know, I'm still here because of my higher power. You know, at the time, I still thought about my higher power. I still thanked him, you know, every day. Like, I don't know why this is happening to me, but for some reason, I know something good's going to come out of it. I used to tell myself, you know, but I still continue to do it because at the time, I didn't understand that I was sick, you know. At the time, my mind was, I'm okay. It's normal because that's what I was taught to do. You know what I mean? It's hey. And I would continue to drink and you know, so back to my story. So I got back to California and I had warrants out for my arrest and I got caught up, went back to jail and I got sober in jail for 60 days, got out and came out, went back to the same stuff again. You know, mind me, within this period of time, I did not contact my kids, not once. I had another child within this time that is 14 years old now, and my mom raised them. Due to my alcoholism and my addiction, I'm not proud to say that, but it's helped me to grow and to be a better parent than what I was before. So, you know, within that time, I had my kid, my mom had my kid, you know, and my family gave up on me my family finally gave up to me. My family used to open the doors, like, every time I was tired of drinking, I was tired of partying, who did I go knock at the door at? My family's house, you know, and they would open that door for me and, you know, go ahead, come in, take a shower, we'll feed you. I would go sleep for 5 days, get up, wait for them to go to sleep for the middle of the night. What did I do? Grab a bag, and there I go, sneaking out, tiptoeing, like a little kid. Come on, you know, I have three kids already, I'm a grown-ass woman, and I'm over there sneaking out of my family's house. But because I knew that I was doing wrong, you know, and I continue to do it. I'm sick, you know, I didn't know at the time I was sick. I'm hella sick, hello. Like, you know, and my family didn't understand that. My family thought I just did it because I didn't care. My family thought I did it because I didn't want to be responsible because, oh, y'all saw that's what you like to do is party all the time. No, you know, like at the time I didn't know that myself either, you know, that I was sick. So I came to Visalia and I went to New Visions for detox for 5 days. After I got out of detox for 5 days, I stayed in Visalia. And I said, maybe if I stay in Visalia, it'll be a different life. Maybe I won't start drinking again. Maybe I won't pick up again. And you know what? I started hanging out with the wrong crowd here for some reason. You know what I mean? It's just, it was chasing me. The trouble chased me. You know, like, I don't look for it. It comes to me. Like, what the hell? You know, I run from it, but it's coming to me. So, I was here. I came by Celia, and I started partying. I started getting drunk, you know. I started out good, like, at the time, I thought I was doing good. I thought I was, oh, I was big and bad, you know. Yeah, I'm kicking back with the big boys, you know. And little did I know, I was just hurting myself. I was just making myself look like a fool, you know, because I was always drunk, not knowing what I was doing, not knowing what I was talking about. You know, everybody that knows me, they knew me all the time by when I was out there drinking and using, they know me. Here comes Nana with her bike and her backpack, you know, with the Bluetooth speaker and the Four Locals and her bike, you know. And I got used to it. I thought it was okay. I got used to it, you know, and I was just partying a lot, you know. I ended up in the hospital a couple of times. I ended up getting hit by a car one time. Woke up in the hospital, all bruised up, didn't know who hit me. All I know is the ambulance picked me up. You would think just because when that happened, you would think, that's it, it's a wrap, I'm going to stop here. No, I didn't. I didn't, you know. The enemy really had me, you know. He had me. He, you know, this, I didn't think, at the time, I didn't even think alcoholism and addiction was this bad. I thought it was just like, whatever, you know, it's a thing to do. It's natural. You know, I like the feeling, you know, I love to be drunk. And that's me. That's how I used to, like, I do it because I like it. I like it for fun. But little did I know, I was hurting myself. I ended up living in the river at St. John's for 3 years straight. I was hurting a lot of people, you know. I did the most, you know. I remember just crying myself to sleep when I was in the river, you know. Always drunk. I was crying myself. The worst feeling I could ever, you know, is when I had to sleep in the cold, trying to find a way to warm myself up. It was miserable. I was miserable. I was lonely. I was depressed. I didn't have a life. My soul was lost. Sorry. Yeah, my soul was just lost. I remember my kid, my older son, looking for me, and he found me at the river, and he begged me to come home, and I didn't, not even like that, I stopped. I was sick, you know, and I didn't want the help. I thought I could do it by myself, and the more I thought I could do it by myself, the more I hurt myself, the more I was killing myself. I got introduced to heroin in 2016, and when I got introduced to heroin and my alcoholism together, it was just not the business at all. There's a big gap of my life from 2016 to when I got locked up. I was only on heroin for a year. That whole year that I was lost. I don't remember half of the stuff that I did. I don't remember none of it, honestly. And I remember just one day just praying and asking my higher power, you know, what is it that I have to do to get clean, to get sober? And I remember I told my higher power, do whatever you have to do to take me out of these streets, because I didn't know where I was doing no more with myself. I didn't know who I was. I don't know where to go, if I was coming or going. And finally, the next day in the morning, I got arrested. And it's crazy, but I was laughing when the officers arrested me. Yeah, I was laughing. And I remember the deputy telling me, what are you laughing about? What's so funny, you know? And I told him, you know what? I'm happy. I'm happy that I'm going to jail. I'm happy that this is happening to me, because this is going to be a new start for me. Because I knew from the gate I wasn't going to come out. I knew that I'm going to be in there for a long time because of the charges that I had, you know. So I knew you're not coming out. So I already knew, you know, it's a new start for my life. So once I went into jail, you know, I was in there, and I did, I don't know, maybe some of you guys are probably familiar with this program, RSAT. I fought to get into that program, and I did that program in there. I was in there for 2 years. I got 4 years with half, which is two. So I did RSAT in there. I did my program, and while I was in there, you know, I could have easily did other substances in there, but I chose not to because I was ready to change. You know, I didn't want to drink no more. I wouldn't want to use no more. I wanted to be happy. I wanted to know how to I wanted to learn how to live life again. I wanted to learn how to be that mom that my kids were supposed to have from the beginning. I wanted to learn how to be that daughter that my mom should have had, you know, like in that she has now, you know. I want to be that sister, you know, and without having to be intoxicated or under the influence of any kind of substances, you know. So I finally realized, you know what, that's it, you know, this is it. I've had enough and I'm done. So while I was in there, they picked up a new charge, and I was like, oh man, I'm gonna go to prison, because I really thought I was gonna go to prison. And the judge, seeing that I was doing so good, I didn't get in trouble, I didn't catch no, because usually I would get more catch cases in there for fighting, you know, because I used to like to fight a lot, not no more though. I used to like to beat people up, but not no more. But, you know, and I didn't catch no case in there. So the judge seen, whoa, you're not in here for another case, you know, so you're being good. And he goes, so how about you get out and you do 3 months in New Visions? I was like, are you kidding me? I looked at him, and I even told my lawyer, I told him, are you kidding me? I said, I'm already in here for 2 years, and I did RSAT. I'm like graduated a drug program in jail. I don't need to go to another program. You know what I mean? Like, I got this. I'm good. So I was like, you know what? Just to get the hell out of here, fine, I'll get it. You know? So I did my 2 years. My probation picks me up, tells me, we're going to slap the monitor on you. Almost like, and still going to slap the monitor on me and take me to New Visions? Oh, my goodness. So when I got to New Visions, like, when I finally got to New Visions, my mind was already like, I don't want no more drugs. I don't want to drink. I'm ready to change. This is it. But I still have an addiction, you know, and that's going to hinder me for the rest of my life that I know that I need to work on, and I know that I still need help with, you know? So maybe I'm going to try it out. That's it. I'm trying it out. But at the time, I'm struggling with addiction of the lifestyle, okay? Because I'm not only an addict to alcohol and substances, but I'm addicted to the lifestyle. You know, and if you guys don't know what I mean by the lifestyle, is being out there, you know, just the movement, just the partying, just being around. You know, I'm addicted to it, and I still struggle with it. But by the grace of my higher power and my sponsor and New Visions and the support, the loving support that I have from my family and the girls and everybody, I'm overcoming it. You know, I'm learning how to overcome it, and I'm still here. You know, so I'm going a little bit ahead of myself. Let me go back. So when I got to New Visions, I was there, you know, and when I got out, I was doing mental health in there. So when I got out, my probation officer took me straight to the mental health, right? And I got assessed at the mental health. So you know, this is what happened after jail. Like, I got assessed at the mental health, and mental health, like, you prove you're accepted, you got services. So then when I go back to the house, you know, like, not even 45 minutes, my guy tells me, you know what, you're going to get COD bed. You're going to be here for 6 months, not for 3 months. I was like, are you kidding me? So, you know, I had the monitor on me. I was like, you know what? I'm sorry to tell you, but I'm not staying here for the 6 months. As soon as my monitor comes out, I'm going to leave. I'm running. You know, I'm a runner. And that's what I am. I'm a runner. That's why I've been in and out of jail for so long, because I don't stay still, and I don't know how, I didn't know how to follow rules. I don't know how to be compliant to anything, you know? Like, so while I was there, I was like, I give them hell. My guide, you know, I love her to death because she put up with a lot of my attitude, and because I thought I knew it all. And then I told her, just watch. One of these days, you're going to come home, and I'm not going to be here. She caught me trying to take my monitor off. Okay, I had my monitor, like, halfway off. I had all kinds of lotion on my leg because I was trying to take it off. And my thing was, oh, I'm going to get this sucker off, and I'm going to put in a teddy bear and just leave it there, and I'm going to take off. And they caught me. I was like, damn. You know, like, I can't run. You know, there's something. There's a reason why this is not happening. So finally, I said, you know what? That's it. I sat down and I looked up and I told God, you know what, God, I surrender. This is it. You're trying to tell me something and I'm going to stay here and I'm going to do what you're asking me to do. So here I am. You know, I stuck around. I'm still here. I'm compliant. I've been compliant ever since I've been out. Like, ever since my monitor, I didn't leave. I'm still here. I still live there. I'm not a client though. You know, I'm working on, I have my family back. That's one. What's another one? I have my family back. I get to do things with my kids. I have a relationship with my brothers. I have a beautiful relationship with everybody that, you know, and I know they love me. I don't hesitate or even doubt them no more like I used to. I'm not in that hellhole. I'm not in that miserable place I used to be, you know, like I was a lost soul out there. And I do struggle. I'm not going to say it's easy. It's been a hard journey for me, rough journey, because I like to party, I like to drink, but I know I can't. I know that if I was to pick up again another drink, it's a wrap. I'm not coming back. I'm staying out there. I'm gonna die, and my kids need me. And not only do I have one grandbaby, but I might be having another one on the way, you know. And what I didn't do with my kids, I'm going to be blessed to do with my grandkids. And I know that my kids are proud of me, you know. I struggle with, I have my two kids right now, my two older ones, that struggle with addiction themselves. And I struggle with that because sometimes I forget that, you know what, Elena, you can't fix it. Like, remember where you were at, you know? I had to remind myself, remember where you were at. Remember whenever they tried, my family tried to tell me, enough is enough. Stop doing what you're doing, you know? The more they told me to stop, the more I did it. So, you know, I've learned by talking with my sponsor, stop and give it to God. So that's what I've been doing. And it's the best thing I could ever do. And it's the best thing, even though it hurts. And it's hard to stay still. And knowing the fact that you have kids out there that are struggling with the same addiction, the same illness that you went through, it's hard, you know, but I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I am going to school to get my GED so I could go start going to do my car classes to become a drug and alcohol counselor. There's been times where I get discouraged because I'm in the office. You know, I do it for my heart. I give what was given to me. I give it to the ladies that come in at home. And I do it for my heart, you know. When I first got out and I started volunteering and I started doing it, I used to do it because, you know what, it's helping me stay clean and sober. But something inside of me grew. And now I'm doing it because I want to do it, because I love the ladies, because I love to give the newcomer what was given to me. I was welcomed with love in these rooms. And people that didn't even know me, and I didn't even know, like, hi, how you doing? You know, like, I was loved, you know, like, and it feels good because I never had it. I have a problem with abandonment. I have a problem with trusting. I have a problem with just everything, you know. I had that problem, and I've learned how to trust and how to accept that love that people try to give you, that do give you. Not they try, they do give you. They make, just by that one simple hug that I get, it made me grow stronger, and it made me want to stay around. You know, I'm not paid staff yet, but I'm working my way up there. And there's been times where I told a couple of people, like, that's it, I want to give up, I want to run away, I can't do this no more. And then people tell me, you know what, it's not perfection, it's just progress, you know, like, that's, you know, like, it's going to come, you know, it's going to come, it is going to come, you know, I know it's going to come. And I could now overcome my stressful events, overcome anything that wants to hinder me in my recovery, I could overcome it without having to pick up another drink or having to pick up to get high. I could overcome it. And all that is by the grace of God and my sponsor and my steps and my journaling and the people in New Visions, the ladies in New Visions, the newcomers, especially the newcomers. You know, all that, it's what's helping me stay clean and sober. And I love my life. I could sit here and tell myself I'm worth it. I don't have to worry about where I'm going to sleep tonight. I don't have to worry about if I'm going to have some food in my stomach. I don't have to worry about my next drink or my next high. I love myself. I have freedom. I'm free from the misery, the everything that was hindering me not to live life. I can live life peacefully now, you know, as long as I stay connected and as long as I keep on doing the footwork that I've been doing and not have one foot in and one foot out and trying to be undecisive if I want this side or if I want that side. You know what? I chose the right path and I went straight and I'm going to continue going forward, not straight forward, and continue doing what I have to do to overcome all my struggles and not having to pick up that next drink or the next high. You know, for the newcomers, it does work. If you really want it, it does work. You just have to put the footwork in, look for a sponsor. Work your steps and run an honest program. Number one key, honesty. If you're not honest within yourself or anybody around you, I'm sorry, but it's not going to work. Because that's the first mistake I did when I first came around these rooms. I wasn't honest. I thought I had it. I thought I could do it by myself. But guess what? I wasn't able to do it by myself. And that's how I lost 10 years of my kids' lives. Because I was absent from my kids' lives for 10 years. But you know what? All by the grace of God, my kids love me. And they understand that I was ill. And not because I did it because I wanted to, but it's because I was ill. And for them ladies that have CWS cases, don't give up. It's never too late to be a mom. Yeah. And with that said, thank you for letting me share.